Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How are you?
Glad.
Very good. Well, I started out the week getting in those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, and I quit. I just can't leave it alone. It's Thanksgiving. And to me, Thanksgiving is very biblical. I mean, there is something about the idea. So can we take a break today? Can we hunger and thirst next week? Because we really hadn't done much of that this week, have we? We'll do the hunger and thirst for righteousness next week. We just talk about Thanksgiving today, and that's what I want to do. I just want to spend a few minutes there, because I was not going to do it. I've done Thanksgiving sermons, but man, it rolls around every year, and I just think we need to talk about being thankful. There's some things that need to be said again and again. Right, parents? Yeah. Amen. Yeah, you say something over and over to your kids. I tell Hannah sometimes, I say, look, I'm your dad. I get the right to say this to you. You know, it's my job. So I know it drives you crazy, but no, let's talk about Thanksgiving. And I want to use for our text Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. And it goes like this. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart, for whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen? Yeah. So I like that little text, because you got right off the bat Paul saying, I thank you. And do you sense here a warmness and an affection in his heart for these people? I mean, I don't think this is Paul just, being a politician or saying what he's supposed to the right people. I think there is a genuine affection that he has for him. I think I read it coming out here. And he says, I thank God when I remember you. And of course, if you remember Paul's time there, if some of you have been in my Bible class on Sunday morning, we've just recently gone through some of this. When Paul was in Philippi, it was kind of a rough go, wasn't it? There's some interesting little stories there, but he ended up in jail, beaten. I mean, all kinds of things happened there. But he left a church. He left a church. And if you think about it, it was kind of a, well, it was a diverse little bunch of people, wasn't it? Yeah. You have Lydia, who, I think it's not too far to say that she's probably a woman of means. She's a businesswoman. She's a dealer in purple. And it's not even her hometown. So she has the ability to travel and set up a place somewhere and set up shop somewhere else and do business. So probably some means behind this woman. And in fact, she had a place big enough that Paul's group that was traveling, it wasn't just Paul, there were others with him, were able to stay at her house. So you get a sense of the place she was living. It wasn't a one-room shack where they're all sleeping in the same room type of thing. There was place for them to stay. So you've got somebody that is doing okay for themselves. You've got the jailer. I don't know. I can imagine he's a guy that takes care of business. What do you think? You know, he's apparently a man of honor. When he thought they were going to escape, he was going to kill himself. He was actually going to kill himself because you didn't let your guys escape. I suspect that he may have even been a retired Roman soldier. A lot of soldiers got established or settled in that area. There was a big battle that took place. And after that battle, some of the sailors on the army guys on the winning side got settled in that area. You know? So I can imagine that he's probably got a little different way of looking at life than maybe Lydia does. Maybe a little more cosmopolitan on her part. And well, if he was a soldier, he probably traveled a lot, but he definitely thinks of the world in a certain way. Looks at it. And I always wonder about the girl. Remember the girl that was demon-possessed, that was the demon was cast out of her? Now, it never says for sure that she was a part of the church, but can you imagine her not being? I mean, I can imagine, and early Christians did this. They would go and buy fellow Christians out of slavery if they could. That was one of the practices that caught the attention of the outside world, is that these Christians would go and buy other Christians out of slavery, and to get them out of it if it was possible. So I can imagine if you've got a woman like Lydia, who's a woman of means, and you've got this young lady who's had the demon cast out of her, and she's now no longer of any use to her master, don't you think there might have been a purchase made? You know, I mean, so you look at it, it's an interesting little bunch there. And I want to think of it in this way, because I'm leading to something here. I want to think of it in this way. Did you realize how much Paul had to leave behind by becoming a Christian? Yeah. Kind of put him at odds with everything he'd grown up and known. We don't know. We get one little hint of the relationship he had with his family. There was a plot against his life when he was in Jerusalem, and his sister sent her son, or Paul's nephew, to him to let him know about the plot to kill him. So apparently there was still some familial bond there that they would at least alert him to a death threat against him so he could then tell the Roman commander who could get him out of Jerusalem and take him someplace else. So we get a little bit of a sense there. But boy, don't you know if they pass over together one more time after Paul become a Christian, it might have been a little tense. You know, you ever had somebody from another, you ever had somebody in your family convert to another religious group? And I mean something maybe really other. And when it's that first meal back together and, you know, he had to give up his career, so to speak. I mean, he gave up a lot to do this. And yet, don't you know, as Paul looks out at this group and he thinks back on this Philippian church and the diversity that was there in them, he realizes it's all worth it because of what God's doing. That there's a joy there. There's a sense of, wow, I can be thankful about what I had to give up to go down this road. If you want to, go to Philippians chapter 3 and read that. Paul will talk to you a little bit about what he had to give up in order to be who he was. But there's that sense there. And here's what I'm really trying to get at. Is, did you realize that family isn't always a blessing? It's not always a blessing. It should be a blessing, right? Family's not always a blessing. And if you don't believe me, I'm not going to tell you any stories here today. Ask me on the way out and I can tell you some stories about how family was not a blessing to some people. Okay? And sometimes the culture that we grow up in is not a blessing to us either, is it? I mean, we've got, I guess what you'd say, American culture. But within American culture, there's all kinds of subcultures, aren't there? And I am here to tell you, there are some subcultures that exist that are not good for the people that are in them. They don't work well. They're not about their success, you know? And so I think that's part of the thing here, why I was talking about this idea, is that God's making a new family, isn't He? He's making a new family because, you see, here's what I want to say. Now, I'm assuming that God's family's working the way it's supposed to. Okay, can we get that little if in there to begin with? If it's working the way it's supposed to. If God's family is working the way it's supposed to, it's always a blessing. It's always a blessing. And so I imagine that Paul can look out as he thinks back on this Philippian church where you've got the cosmopolitan Lydia, you've got the soldier, and hopefully, I just pray that that little girl that had the demon cast out was a part of that, that he looks back and he says, isn't it amazing that God can bring these people together? I thank God for you. And I thank God for what He's done in your life. Thank God for what He's done in your life. So I think back for just a moment, because see, Paul makes an interesting little comment there. He says, he prays with joy about their partnership in the gospel. Their partnership in the gospel. If you go and read the Philippian letter, you're going to find out that they have sent Paul some support. They've sent him some financial help. And that's really the occasion for the letter. He's writing back to say thank you and talk about some issues in the church that have been reported to him, that kind of thing. But, it was just on my mind this week as I was thinking about this, when I shifted gears from the hunger and thirst to thinking about Thanksgiving and looking at this text. You know, I had a great experience this summer when I got to go to American Samoa. You know, and in fact, I got out my pictures and just started looking back through them. And you know what? I'm not making myself like Paul, don't get me wrong here. But I could say exactly what Paul said here in this text. But I thank God for all of them. I could write them a letter and say, I thank God for you guys. And I thank God for the work He's doing through you. And all of that. And, they appreciate our partnership in the gospel with them. It's one of the great things this church has done, is to help with the work in American Samoa. I'm here to tell you, I've been there firsthand. I can report it. Good things. But what was so amazing to me is how comfortable I felt among them. There was a common bond. There was a sense of family that was there that was just amazing. I remember I preached at one church on a Sunday morning, and then I was supposed to be somewhere else right after that, so they were going to send a driver by to get me, to take me to the next place I was supposed to be. And they're running late, and the guy picking me up. So I'm just sitting out there on this stone wall waiting for my ride. I'm not worried. My ride's going to show. I don't mind waiting. But I can remember there's this last man to leave the church, and he's like, you know, do you want to come home with lunch? I said, well, no, I've got to go meet these people. I've got to have lunch at this place over here. That's what's set. He says, I can't leave you here alone. I mean, there was just a whole sense of he can't leave with me being there. It was just, I don't know, it was just very touching. This sense of my whole family will sit here then until your ride comes. You know? I don't know. I don't know if I'm communicating it or not, but it's just amazing to me, the little bit that I've traveled in the world, when I find other Christians somewhere else, it's amazing the bond that I have with them. And it doesn't matter how diverse, because if you think about it, in this whole world, how diverse is the church? It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing all the places the gospel gone. Of course, that's what Jesus wanted, wasn't it? If you go back to Matthew, go into all the world. Teach the gospel to who? We say all nations. I want to say it this way. All peoples means the same thing. That's been done in a sense, hadn't it? It's just amazing to me when you travel and you go about there. And I notice that Paul says he has joy, and I think he has thanksgiving over their partnership in the gospel with him. And I want to talk about that gospel for just a moment. If you realize it, and well, I'll get into it after the first of the year. I got something I'm planning to do there. But you realize how big the story is that God's writing? How big the story is that God is writing right now? And the gospel is a big story that goes way back. That goes way back. And Paul realizes it, that he is a part. And the thing I want to say to y'all this morning is, so are you. Do you realize how big a story that you're a part of? I want to... Are you familiar with these Renaissance festivals? I like going to them. Very interesting from a lot of different perspectives. But one of the things that I love is the people that are really into it. I don't know how much money some of them spend on their costumes, but it's amazing to me to see the costumes that they wear. And they go to these things, and for a weekend or for a few weekends or whatever it is, they get to become, because what they do typically, now there's all kinds of variety out there, but typically a lot of people will dress as a particular character, especially if you go to these things called Comic-Con. They dress as a particular character that they're, you know, they like, or and what it is for a little while they want to be a part of that story. Does that make sense? For just a brief little while. I mean, haven't you ever read a story? Haven't you ever seen a TV show or a TV series or a movie? And you think to yourself, that's amazing. I wish I could be a part of that. Don't you remember as a kid? I don't know, maybe I'm just weird. We'd go in, we'd watch a TV show or movies, and I'd be like, I'm so-and-so in the series. In other words, I identified with a particular character in that series, and we'd all be there to watch it. I'd be like, I'm so-and-so. Yeah, you know, whatever it was, because I could identify there. And in fact, I just don't have the money. The truth is, I'd like to get my own little costume and go to these things. I just hadn't figured out how to do it yet. The one I like is a series called Serenity, or Firefly. It started as a TV series called Firefly. They made a movie called Serenity. And the thing, one of the things that attracted me to it is I love the storyline. It's a great storyline they've got going there, great story arc. But they've got a preacher. And it's one of the few series that treats the preacher seriously. In other words, in a lot of TV, isn't the preacher a buffoon? I resent that. For a lot of reasons. But in this particular series, the preacher is taken very seriously. He's an integral part of what the crew does. And like I say, I love the storyline. But I haven't figured out how to do it yet because he's black. I'm just not going to do that. But I'd like to dress up, and I'd like to be the preacher and go to some of these things, you know? Because I love that storyline, and it's fun for a weekend just to pretend, to put yourself in there and be a part of it, just for a little while. Can I be this character? Can I live this life just for that long? And see, the problem is what? Monday comes and you have to go back to work. And the fantasy's over until next year or the next thing that's coming up. And I'm not putting it down. I'm attracted to it. I like that. And one of these days, when I get the money, I'm going to get my own costume and I'm going to go. I just can't afford the costume. Not the one I want anyway. But what I'm getting at is that for that brief moment, they can be a part of a story. And what I'm trying to say to us, church, is that we are a part of the most amazing story that's ever been written. It's the one that God is writing, and we're a part of it. We can be thankful for that. When we go to work on Monday, we don't leave that behind. We take it with us. We're there. We're living it. We're there and we're living it. It's not the end of the story. They may have to go back to work as whoever they were. It doesn't change for us. Excuse me. It doesn't change for us. See, Paul says, I have you in my heart. If you'll notice that in the text. He says, I have you in my heart. And the things that are in our heart are the things that we really are thankful for, aren't they? Yeah. And it's not always the case. I can think of exceptions, and I'll give you the exception on the front end. What I'm going to say is, my point is going to be simply this. Very often, the things we're most thankful for are the things we work for. Amen? Okay, now I don't work for Grace, and I'm very thankful for it. So there's exceptions to what I'm saying here. Good? We good, church? But by and large, the things that we're thankful for are things that we have worked for, that we have put ourselves into, and that we have done, you know. And so, in other words, here's the example I want to use. Remember a few years ago when UT beat USC for the championship? Football? Wasn't it great? Yeah. Was there some Thanksgiving going on in this area? Does it compare to the Thanksgiving that the guys on the UT football team must have felt? Could they be a little more thankful than maybe me? Why? I didn't work for it. I sat in a chair at Bill's house and filled my face and my stomach with food and drink and watched him win. And since he's not here, aggravated Carter. Yeah. But the joy and the thanksgiving that I felt was nothing compared to what it had to be for Vince Young or any of the other guys that were on that team. Because why? They worked for it. They invested themselves in it. They put themselves into it. They'll have something that is going to be so much more to them. And that's part of the thing about learning to be thankful people is we've got to ask ourselves, what am I going to invest myself in that I can be thankful for? And again, now you start to see why Paul would be such a thankful person. What has he invested himself in? God's people. And making more of them. Bringing them into the story. Yeah. He goes on to say, he knows that this good work that God has begun in them will be carried to completion. And I want to go ahead and say it this way. Once, now, not perfectly, be clear, but once I got on board with what God was trying to do in my life, I have never been bored since. I have, in fact, there's some times I've wished for boredom. You know, I have not been bored in, I don't remember how long. Bring it on. I'd love some. Maybe some of y'all would too. Maybe some of y'all would too. You see, one of the things that I'm thankful for, and I see Paul expressing thanks for here, is that what God has begun is going to be so much better when it's done. Got that, church? What God has begun is so much better when it's done. He's carrying something through to completion. I mean, it has been amazing, the things that I have seen God do. It's been amazing. It's been wonderful to see Him work and to see the things that He has done. And, yeah, I know, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but let's assume a normal lifespan. At least that's what I'm assuming right now. I'm excited about what He's going to do next. What's coming next? What's going to be there? What is next? What's God going to do? Think about it as a community, as a church. Think about it as a church here. What does the future hold here? I don't know. But if God's involved, isn't it going to be great? Isn't it going to be what He needs it to be? Yeah. I want to use this illustration for it. Got any puzzle workers here? You ever get out one of those 1,000-piece puzzles, dump it out on the table? You know, we've all probably got our technique. I'm an edge guy first, right? You do the edges. Then you try and look at all your pieces and you group them all together. Now, it drives you crazy when you're working with somebody else that's got a different technique. You got to fight a little bit. But I'm just telling you, edges first. You kind of group the pieces where you think they are. And then here's the deal. You put that box cover up and you look at that picture and you start to work, right? Okay, I see some head shake. We got some puzzle workers here. Great. See, here's the thing. God's putting together a big, I don't have any piece puzzle. And the problem is for us sometimes is we're not putting the puzzle together. He is. We're a piece. We're a piece of that puzzle that God's working on. And I don't know where He's going to put us in there, and I don't know what this picture is going to be, but isn't it going to be exciting when it's all said and done to look at the picture that God has put together when He works all the pieces into place? God is going to bring to completion what He has begun in us. What God has begun, wow, is going to be something when it's done. Yeah. So what else does the future hold? I don't know. Now, I've noticed something here. You notice the connection between Thanksgiving and prayer? Now, I can't, there's no way to, you know, really get this tied down. I wish we could validate this somehow. But I wonder, how many families through the year, so when they sit down to eat, just start eating. Our tradition is, as many of y'all's probably is that you say a prayer before you eat. And we typically say, isn't it common if somebody says, now who's going to give thanks, right? And that means who's going to say the prayer, right? Okay. So we give thanks. I got to wondering how many families don't have that tradition, but on Thanksgiving, on that Thursday, I wonder how many families at least once a year stop and do what before they eat? Pray. There's a connection there between prayer and thanksgiving. There's a connection. And I bring that up for this reason. Did you notice that Paul has a prayer in verse 9? Now, pause and think about that for a second. Do you want to hear how Paul prayed? Might that be of interest to you? Well, you're going to get to this morning, right? And here's the thing that I want to do. This is a prayer that he prayed for them. In round numbers, 2,000 years ago. A little less, I know, but 2,000 years ago. Could that prayer not be prayed for us today? Is that legit? So let's listen to that. Can we? Now, we don't have to bow our heads, but can we pray this prayer this morning? And I'm going to lead it, but I'll change it just slightly here. And this is our prayer, that our love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that we may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, that we may be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Can we pray that? Yes. That prayer was good for them, and that prayer counts for us. That prayer counts for us. You see, I want to end it this way for you this morning. Because I realize that sometimes Thanksgiving can be a struggle. But if you're living your life to the glory and praise of God, you will have things to be thankful about. Can we leave it there, church? If you are living your life to the glory and praise of God, like the prayer says, you will have things to be thankful about. Amen. Amen. All right. I want to encourage if you can make it to Rosie's afterwards. I've got a little follow-up that I want to do to that. We've been blessed to be a blessing. I want us to talk about that a little bit when we're done at Rosie's. We're done eating. So invite you there. There's a little more to this message. But at this point, we're going to stop.